do exceedingly, abundantly, and above all, I ask you, I give you glory and honor. Father, in any way I have fallen short of your glory, have mercy and forgive me. Father, give me the grace to tarry frequently, and I long in your presence, and to always prevail in the place of prayer. Father, release upon my life fresh anointing for consecration to your service, and draw me near unto the cross where you are died. Lord, make me a carrier of fullness of your presence, and set me on fire for you. Let there be a manifestation of your power, authority, and glory in our lives. Father, help me to find comfort and joy in coming into your presence. As we are sharing your word this morning, Father, Lord, let your word reflect in our life, Lord, and use me as your vessel, Lord. Every word I'm going to speak, Father, Lord, let be your word, Lord. And let everything we're going to hear this morning, Father, Lord, change our life for good, Lord. In Jesus Christ, Lord, I pray. Amen. Brother, this morning we are going to look at the title, Jesus, Our Banner of Victory. Jesus, Our Banner of Victory. Let's open our Bible to Exodus 17, verses 8 to 16. Exodus 17, verses 8 to 16. I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. While the people of Israel were still at Rephidim, the warriors of Amalek attacked them. Moses commanded Joshua, "Choose some men to go out and fight the army of Amalek for us. Tomorrow I will stand at the top of the hill, hold the staff of God in my hand." So Joshua did what Moses had commanded and fought the army of Amalek. Meanwhile, Moses, Aaron, and Hur climbed to the top of a nearby hill. As long as Moses held up the staff in his hand, the Israelites had the advantage. But whenever he dropped his hand, the Amalekites gained the advantage. Moses' arm soon became so tired, he could no longer hold them up. So Aaron and Hur found a stone for him to sit on. Then they stood on each side of Moses, holding up his hands. So his hands held steadily until sunset. As a result, Joshua overwhelmed the army of Amalek in the battle. After the victory, the Lord instructed Moses, "Write this down on a scroll as a permanent reminder and read it aloud to Joshua. I will erase the memory of Amalek from under the heaven." Moses built an altar there, named it Yehovah Nissi, which means "Lord is my banner." He said, "They have raised their fist against the Lord's throne. So now the Lord will be at war with Amalek generation after generation." Thanks God for the reading. Brethren, you know, let me start by giving a simple illustration this morning. Assuming that you woke up this morning and you just wanted to do something in your kitchen, and you find that your kitchen sink, the drain is blocked. You know, you consider that as maybe as a simple problem. And again, you just, okay, well, if you are handy guy, if you're handy person, you can just try to fix that. But if you're not, you just call a plumber, you know, come and help you to solve that problem. You know, consider that that's a very simple problem that can be solved easily. It would be great if all life problems were that simple to solve. Since most of life problems aren't that simple and won't go away overnight, perhaps we should change the way we view them. Somebody said one time that problems are a sign of life. Do you all agree with me? The more problem you have, the more alive you are. My question is, are you alive today? Are you alive today? So now, as we come to our test, we discover that Moses and Israel are very much alive. They are facing a monumental problem. Moses and the fledgling nation of Israel have just come through a water crisis in the wilderness of Sinai and find themselves at a place called Rephidim. You know, Rephidim means rest. Things were going good. But then we read those first three words on our test. Then came Amalek. We can all identify that phrase, verse 8 continue, and they fought with Israel. Brethren, just when life settled down, just when we are getting in a good groove and we are resting, and here comes Amalek. And with Amalek, there is contention. There is a struggle. There is a strife. There is a problem. I hope you are following. You are following me. So before we go on, who were the Amalek, the Amalekites? So who are they? The Amalekites were the descendants of Amalek, who was a grandson of Esau. I believe all of us will know this story. The brother of Jacob. If you remember Esau and Jacob, were born to who? Isaac and Rebekah. There was strife between these two brothers over the birthright and blessings of the firstborn. Jacob, together with his mother, schemed to deceive Isaac and steal the blessing. This began a strife between the descendants of Esau and the descendants of Jacob. And remember, Jacob is representing what? Israel. Are you following that story? That continued from generation to generation. We can see from verse 16, we read, "For he," that Moses, "said, because the Lord hath saw that the Lord will have the war with Amalek from generation to generation." Even though the Amalekites were direct descendants of who? Of Jacob as well, too, because remember, Esau and Jacob, they are brothers. They share the same blood. And thereby, near kinsmen to the Israelite, they were constant nemesis to them. It might be better to say that because the Amalekites were direct descendants of Jacob, and thereby near kinsmen to Israel, they were constantly enemies to them. Brethren, we have the same near kinsmen in our lives. Somebody said, one writer said, "Praise God from whom all blessings flow." God is our continual font of blessing. It is equally true that our fleshy, sinful nature is our continual font of problems. We could sing, cause the flesh from whom our problem flows, like Amalek. Our fleshy, carnal nature in our near kinsman ever with us. never give us rest, a constant nemesis to ourselves and others. We can go through life cursing our lot or blaming others, but goes nowhere. Life is not fair, as we all know. There are evil people and power in this world who are constantly bandaging us. At the end of the day, life is what we make it. So, brethren, this message is about overcoming problems. It's about overcoming problems. It centers upon one of many names of God. Here in this passage, Moses introduced us to the name Jehovah Nissi. Jehovah Nissi means the Lord, our banner of victory. Verse 15 read, and Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. The word Nissi means translated to banner. It speaks of a symbol of standard victory. Now, let me give an illustration. You know, when there's a battle, when a country or a city fighting against each other, let's say a country is fighting against each other, when one country overcome another country, the first thing that the country that won is we take a flag of that country and put it in other country by saying we have overcome this country. And that banner shows a victory for that country. So we are overcomers through the Lord Jesus Christ. And in him, we can overcome, we are overcomers in lives. Hallelujah. So again, we're talking about our text. The Amalekites has confronted Moses and the children of Israel as they began their journey in the wilderness. And at this point in time, Israel, a fledgling nation, is very vulnerable. The Israelites were adapting to the wilderness life, experiencing withdrawals from Egyptians' life, were equipped for battle. We can simply assume that the Amalekites did not take them very serious because they know that they are weak. Moses instruct his commander and leader in training, Joshua, to select men and engage the enemy. While Joshua is leading his men in battle against the armies of the Amalekites, Moses removed himself to the top of the hill nearby, giving himself a view of the battlefield. Moses takes his staff with him to the hilltop, and Moses raised his arm high with his rod or staff in his hand. Joshua and his men prevailed against the Amalekites. When Moses' arm grew weary, please, I want you to be listening to this. Now, when Moses' arm grew weary, becoming tired and heavy, he lowered them, and the Amalekites prevailed against Joshua and his troop. Observing the weariness of Moses, Aaron and Hur came to the aid and support their leader. The first thing they did was roll a nearby stone under Moses so that he could sit down. You must remember that Moses was 80 years old, you know, when he first stood before Pharaoh and demanded that he let his people go. So that means by the time they're having that, Moses was a very old man. And remember, if a very old man raises his hand up to the heaven, you know how tired that would be. So then together, they supported Moses' arms, holding them high and steady until setting of the sun. Because of this, Joshua was able to prevail against and overwhelm the Amalekites with the edge of the sword. And all the day, everyone knew that the victory was secure because Moses was able to hold his staff high overhead. Now, let me quickly address the staff or the rod that Moses had. What appeared as a simple shepherd's staff had become a symbol of God's presence and power. It all became when God called Moses from the midst of the burning bush to deliver his people. We all remember that story. Moses made excuse as to why he could not go. God then asked Moses what he had in his hand. Moses responded, "It's just a rod. The rod that became a serpent, perhaps a very poisonous cobra." God then commanded Moses to pick it up by the tail. As he did, it became a rod, but it ceased to be the rod of Moses at that point. So it became the rod of God. This rod that is now used to symbolize the name of Jehovah Nissi, the Lord is my banner. Today we think of banner as a flag. But the banner we are talking about here is not flag. We are talking about Jesus Christ. This banner in the hand of Moses was a visible image of the presence of the presence and power of God, who will provide the victory over the Amalekites. The victory over Amalekites belongs to God. By themselves, the Israelites were sure to be defeated, if not destroyed. It was under the banner that the victory was secured. Now, brother, I'm going to ask you a question this morning. Are there Amalekites in your life today? With what are you doing battle? The Amalekites represent the forces of evil as they oppose the work of God and the people of God. As the children of God, we are in constant conflict with Satan. Is godless, irrelevant, war system. Our unredeemed fleshy nature and desires. Our battle is chiefly against sins and Satan. We know that Satan has lost his war against God. He is a defeated foe, however, it's time to continue to fight. Satan is out to win as many battles as he can in our lives to defeat us, discourage us, and drag us down with him. His tactics are much like Amalek. Amalek attacked Moses and the children of Israel unexpectedly, unfairly, and continually. He attacks areas of weakness in our lives. He attacks us when we are living life careless and carefree. He attacks us without warning in good times when we are down. Suddenly, he attacks us when we are weak and vulnerable. It could be when you are physically or spiritually weak. The problems in our lives are evidence of this warfare. Most of the problems in our lives are a result of our own desires, and lust, our own choices and disobedience. So as we consider this story before us and the name of the God, Jehovah Nissi, we can gain valuable insight into how to overcome our problems rather than be overcome by them. The secret is living under God's banner of victory. The victory is not an option for the child of God. We are being saved and equipped to experience victory in our lives. The question is how? The battle plan for victory. Submit yourself to the Lord. We see this in the Moses' staff or rod. Before the rod of Moses could become the rod of God, it had to fall from his hand. Are you with me? Are you getting me? It had to fall from his hand. As Moses released that staff and let it fall to the ground, he was surrendering all right to his life and submitting himself to the direction God had for his life. Life ceased to be about him. So it's the same with us. The way to the victory for the child of God began with submission to God and his words. The banner on the hill represents God's authority. We must surrender ourselves, our plans, our cares, and our problems to God. James 4, verse 6 to 7 says, "But he giveth more grace. Whatever he said, God resists the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble." Submit yourself before God. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. We must remember that battle is the Lord's. Lift your arms and hands toward heaven in prayer. We see this as Moses lifted his hands and arms towards heaven. Make no mistake about it. Moses was assuming the posture of prayer. Psalm 28 says, "Hear the voice of my supplications, where I cry unto thee, when I lift all of my hands towards the holy oracle." Moses was interceding on behalf of his people. As Moses' arms and eyes were lifted in prayer, Joshua and his men prevailed. Prevailing power comes through the prevailing prayer. Let me repeat that again. Prevailing power comes through prevailing prayers. Brilliant. Most of us feel like we are in the wilderness. As if circumstances of the wilderness aren't enough. They are an unexpected attack. Perhaps circumstances feel very dark in your world. It could be that you just when things are finally going well in your marriage, the unexpected strain of working from home has brought new friction. Because now, remember, most of us now, we are working from home because of the coronavirus. Or that you have been fighting the invisible enemy causing bad health. Or maybe just you feel like you are getting to a good place financially and unexpectedly you lost your job. Maybe you are so excited to get finally all the kids back to school, only to discover that they're doing online learning at home due to the COVID situation. Desperate times. You feel like you are stuck in the wilderness with a battle on your hands. What exactly does it mean that Lord is your banner today in your personal wilderness? I'm going to conclude with 4 points. And I want you to listen carefully. One, God as your partner means his purpose stands firm. Let me repeat it again. God as your partner means his purpose stands firm. Remember when troops went into a battle, the banner was raised as a rally point and proof of their purpose. On the battlefield, soldiers could become easily focused and lose the sense of direction. They will look for the banner as a focal point. The banner will call them back and realign them with the sense of purpose. But then sometimes, in the wilderness of our suffering, we become confused. We feel lost. A lot of questions start raising in our mind. It is easy to become distracted and lose our focus. Hear the thing, brethren. God's purposes stand firm. He has appointed you and anointed you to join him in making his love known to the world. When you become confused, fix your focus on God as your banner and come back to center yourself in him. Number two, God as your banner means he's with you through every trial. When Joshua fought the Amalekites, Moses kept his hand lifted towards heaven in worship as a reminder to the people of Israel that God had not abandoned them. God was with them, and he deserved all the honor and glory and praise. By keeping his arms lifted towards heaven, Moses was honoring God as ever-present one. When you feel like you are being shown desperate time and being made to drink wine that makes you staggered, it's easy to feel abandoned. The enemy of your soul wants to discourage you, defeat you. He sends doubt and you wonder, where is God? And why doesn't he step in and do something? Brethren, God raises a banner over you to remind you that his presence is with you. He's fighting for you. He promised he will never leave you nor forsake you. You can see that in Hebrews 13, verse 5. That promise still holds true today. Number three. God, as your banner means, his provisions sustain you. All that you needed, he will provide. How do I know? He promised that he will supply all our needs. Sometimes when the battle feels intense, we don't even know what we need. We just know we feel desperate. In those moments, Jehovah Nissi, our banner, is Jehovah Jireh, our provider. He's more than able to give exactly what we need to sustain us. In the wilderness, when Moses felt so tired that his heart began to slip and fall. God provided Aaron and Hur to sustain him by holding up his arms in the wilderness when his children of Israel didn't know which way to go. God provided them the cloud of his presence by day and the fire in the presence by night to lead them and guide them. You may feel that you are not going to make it through. This presence is wilderness. You may feel that your faith is slipping and all confused about which way to go. God's provision will sustain you. It will bring people to encourage your heart and lift your arms when you feel weary. It will provide unexpectedly for your financial needs. It will open unexpected doors and it will bring hope when you feel hopeless. It will lead you safely through the wilderness. Brethren, let's look for his provisions. The fourth one. God as your banner means his protection brings victory. It's easier after the year we are to fall into negative thinking and wonder. Is evil winning? No. We are promised that our Jesus is and will be victorious. The troubles in your life may feel overwhelming. Brother, this morning I have a good news for you. We win. We will win because in Christ, under his banner, we have protection from the enemy. As is victorious and we are victorious. Brother, may I ask you, what is the battle you have been fighting recently? Does the news have you feeling overwhelmed and defeated? Do you feel your faith slipping? Brethren, Jesus Christ whispered, "My beloved child, it's okay. Keep your eyes on the banner. My purpose stands firm. My presence go with you. My provision is enough for you. My protection will ultimately bring victory. I am with you, and for you we win." Let us rise up and let us pray. Psalm 46, verse 1 to 2 says, "God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear." You remind us over and over in your word, God, Heavenly Father, that you are always with us. You continue telling us that we should not fear, and you should draw us close to your presence. You are the only place we find the refuge in the storm that surrounds us. Right now, Lord, you are the only place we can find the peace and strength. So we ask you for your word of the truth and power to strengthen us in our inner being and life on our hearts to you. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you that you know the way we take and you have a plan. We look to you today, our Lord and Savior. We seek, with your face, this morning, Lord. No matter whatever our situation that we are finding ourselves in, no matter how desperate we are, Lord, we submit everything to you this morning, Lord. We submit everything to you this morning, Lord. For that, Lord, let us be victorious, Lord. Let us be victorious, Lord. Because you are the one that sits out of the kings and you see our heart. You know our desire, you know our wants, Lord. For that, Lord, we are submitting ourselves this morning to you, Lord. Let us be victorious, Lord. Let us be victorious, Lord. And because we are focusing on your banner this morning, Lord, without you, there's nothing we can do. And we know that we are going to be victorious on every troubles and obstacles. And you are redeemer, Lord. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your word this morning, Lord. And I pray in Jesus Christ, Lord. Amen.